After taking a shot to the face while fighting for a loose ball in the first quarter of Game 2, Draymond Green responded to an arena full of boos as he walked to the Golden State Warriors locker room with a pair of middle fingers for the Grizzlies crowd as he walked into the tunnel to receive stitches for a gashed eye. Draymond doubling down on his reaction to those boo birds.
You're going to boo somebody who get elbowed in the eye and face running on blood, you should get flipped off. So I'll take the fine. I'll go do an appearance and make up the money. But it felt really good to flip them off. You're going to boo someone that get elbowed in the eye and blood running down your face? I could have had a concussion or anything. So if they're going to be that nasty, I can be nasty too. And I'm assuming the cheers was because they know I'll get fined. Great, I make $25 million a year. I should be just fine.
Ooh, earned up. $25 million. All right, I'm looking at you here, Maddox.
Oh, he's so hard to root for.
So I guess you have an issue.
Just shut up and play, will you please? America's tired of Draymond Green. And I deal with him constantly. The fans, San Francisco fans, different story. Oh, they're so tired of this. Should be quiet and play. And we all know he's got a great skill set for that team, but who in the world is sitting there? He's so polarizing, I can't root for him. I understand how good he is. I can't root for him. Now, listen, they booed him. The fans boo him. They're fickle. Fans boo all the time. Guys get hurt, not hurt. They boo. They don't really mean anything by it. They boo. That's what they do. Right. They boo. I don't think anybody thought he was, he wasn't
carried off on a stretcher. Has he been going to get stitches, though?
I mean, geez, the Kansas City fan, when Castle was taken off the field on a stretcher, they booed him. They boo. All that's what fans do. They spend $1,000 to go to these games, and they boo. I mean, you let it go one ear and out the other.
They were cheering.
Well, you're the same principle. You know what I'm saying? The same principle. I mean, they booed Castle walking off the field when he had a stretcher for the chief quarterback, if you remember correctly, about 7 or 8 years ago. This is what fans do. And then to tell us how much money he makes, nobody wants to hear it, huh? Pipe down. Nobody wants to hear it. You make $25 million. Big whoop-de-doo. You make $25 million a year. You make $25 million.
I do not. You do.
You made that kind of money in your career. Okay. Enough not already. Enough.
Well, first of all, a couple of things. Number one, he don't make more money than you. So let's throw that out the way right now.
Yes, he does.
He ain't Mad Dog Russo.
He makes a lot more than I do.
So don't hate on the paper. Don't hate on paper. Number two, who's your favorite baseball team?
The San Francisco Giants.
And when you a San Francisco Giants fan with Barry Bonds on the team? When did you?
I was.
When did you? So let me get this straight. So
when he's on my team, I can put up with
him. Oh, I see. So I get it. So because he's on your team, it don't matter what he does. But because you ain't necessarily a Golden State Warriors fan.
Oh,
I'm just upset at this guy. I mean, please stop it. The fact of the matter is, Draymond Green is being unfairly crucified by the likes of you, okay?
Not allowed to have an opinion?
No, you're allowed to have an opinion. Of course you are. I just respectfully disagree with it, and I think it's excessive. Because the fact of the matter is that it ain't his job to get along with the Memphis Grizzlies fans. They're the enemies. He's trying to take them out. Okay, and he did have a good point. Now, you could sit up there and say he didn't need to give them the bird, and all right, I got that. That was may have been a bit excessive. But listen to the point he made. I'm on the ground, I got blood streaming down my face, and y'all cheering about that, you don't know what kind of condition I would have been in. So that was highly offensive to him. He offended them back. He didn't offend the fan base that supports him all the time, that's rooting for him in San Francisco and the Bay Area. He offended the enemy. I don't have a problem with it at all.
Let's hear from the former player who's been in situations
I want to take a little umbrage with the shut up and play, because that has the same sort of connotations that the shut up and dribble crowd has towards athletes. And I have a real problem with that. And specifically with Draymond, the idea that America is tired of him, you do realize the guy has a very, very popular podcast that he hosts where he talks himself a majority of the episode.
Right.
And people listen to that. He signed a talent deal with Turner because people want to hear what Draymond has to say.
That is true.
The reason they want to hear what Draymond has to say is because, just like in this press conference, he is real, authentic, and unfiltered. And as a player, he is real, authentic, and unfiltered. The edge that he carries himself with, he's talked about this since game one. Klay Thompson has talked about this since game one. It's what makes him great. It's what makes him a future Hall of Famer. It's the reason he is who he is. It's just like saying, hey, Ja Morant, stop dancing when your teammate's making a three. The reason Ja Morant is great is because he plays with joy and fun and a carefree attitude and a fearlessness. You can't take away what makes a player great. So there's no shut up and play.
God, he is so polarizing. I can, for all the fans that you think listen to the podcast and watch them, I can give you 50 million fans who would tell you the same thing, enough already. So he is a polarizing athlete. Sure, there are certain younger fans especially that like to hear him play. I'll give you a large segment of older fans who have followed the NBA for 60 years, who are, this is not a political scenario or a race situation, who have followed Wilt and grew up as a Knicks fan, who loved Clyde and loved Reed,
yeah, but
and loved the
I
Pearl,
disagree with you on that. I don't think, I'm not saying it's a race situation. I'm saying that the fans you're talking about, they talk about athletes that way, like you just talked about an athlete.
I think there's a lot.
Segment. The people on Fox News talk about athletes that way.
That's my issue.
I don't actually care about the fans that watched Bob Cousy play or watched Wilt play. I don't care. Right. I appreciate that they've been NBA fans that long, but I don't appreciate the undertone.
Hold on. Let's calm down. Because I'm glad you pointed out, JJ, that it's not a race thing. Because with Doggy, it's not. This dude.
No, I know that. I know that.
He's talking. You know, you do have old school fans that lament the fact that you got a lot of folks out there that are just saying, enough already, like he does. Now, people like me and you, we think differently. But there's a whole bunch. Let me tell you, I encounter it all the time. There's a whole bunch of Mad Dog Russos running around. I'm here to tell you right now. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's no question about it, right? And so what happens is that I don't agree with that. I support Draymond Green in this particular situation. Don't give the bird to the fans. But in terms of what he said, I appreciate that. And all your points were right on the money. The fact that people want to hear what he has to say, the fact that he's raw, he's authentic, he's intelligent, he's got a lot to say, I love that. And there's a whole bunch of athletes, highly intelligent, bring a lot to the table, and we should want to hear what they have to say. But you do have old school folks like Doggy and others who do look at some of these athletes and go like this: we're talking more about what you say than your game. And you do have some very select few athletes, and I won't bring up any names because I'm in a good mood today, who want to prioritize their intellect to such a degree that they forget what they promised the fan base they were going to give them. And so when you have a fan base that's out there that wants to prioritize your performance before they hear what you have to say, that's something that the athlete has to take into consideration as well. I get what you're saying. I think there's a whole bunch of
people. I know who you're talking about, but you can't say that about Draymond.
I'm saying, you know I'm not. Yeah. Of course I'm not saying that about Draymond. I'm not saying that about 99% of professional athletes, to be very, very clear. But I do believe that when you talk and you bring up what you hear on other networks, you do have a lot of old school folks in the middle.
Well, you were referencing some plays earlier. You weren't with us. Some plays in the past and
he is tough.
Some questionable decisions.
I don't know how you guys don't see it from a fan standpoint. I can go on that radio today and I'll get millions of calls. Chris, enough of Draymond Green. And I feel that way. And listen, he can say anything he wants. It's free country. He can do all the podcasts he wants. Go ahead and do it. This is a free country. I have no issues with that whatsoever. And listen, from a fan standpoint, I mean, the shut up and dribble, you have an opinion. You can say anything you want. But I also have an opinion. And I don't want to hear Draymond Green at 1 o'clock in the morning after he flips the bird to the fans after, you know, he walked off the court. He wasn't walking off on a stretcher. He walked off the court flipping bird to everybody and saying, well, you know, I make $25 million a year. I don't care what they say. Calm down. People don't want to hear that.
Kyrie Irving just got fined whatever it was, $50,000. We'll assume Draymond gets fined another $50,000 on this one as well, in addition to the game one fine, the flagrant two. I've been consistent. I think you've been consistent, too. We had no issue with the Kyrie Irving thing.
No.
You said you had an issue with this.
I didn't even see the audio
on this until just now. So for him to say what he said about the concussion, Like, he has a valid point.
No, I loved his explanation. I'm just saying it was just a preface. Like, you know what? You could have said what you had to say without doing it, but I'm not condemning him. Yeah. I understand exactly where he was coming from. I would not have done it. You understand? But I would have gave that I would have went off on the fans in the press conference and talked about what they how they came at me. You see blood coming down my face. I could have had a concussion. What kind of damn fan base are you? I would have said something like that without flipping the bird. But that's just a mere technicality. At the end of the day, I agree with Draymond in terms of his animus towards those fans for how they reacted towards him. And I disagree with Doggy when Doggy talks about, oh, enough already. I don't want to hear it. But there's a whole bunch of people out there to think about Doggy and think like Doggy does. And guess what? They ain't all in their 60s. They ain't even in their 50s. You got 20 and 30-year-olds that'll say about a particular play or a team they don't like enough already.
Yeah, by the way, I understand how Draymond can annoy people. Yeah. I understand how Draymond can annoy people in the same way I understand how Dylan Brooks can annoy people.
Yes.
Like, but again, we talk about an edge. Like, Draymond carries that edge with him in his life. That's who he is.
Yes.
The idea of shut up
pick
and
play. No.
Shut up. Where he comes from. Yeah. He's a kid from Saginaw, Michigan. So just the notion, I'm going to take umbrage, the notion of shut up and play for any athlete, but specifically for Draymond, that's who he is. Mm-hmm. You take that. You take that with his greatness.
Yeah. Now, you also can make this comment. This is in the heat of the moment. I don't think the Memphis fan really made anything bad by it, and they're spending a fortune to go to those games. And without those fans, you don't have a league.
And for him, and he's about to get stitches.
A fortune. Yeah. An absolute fortune. Thousands of dollars to go to those ball games. Now, they ain't throwing anything on the court. You can't poo-poo that.
And that game was entertaining. So they got their money's worth.
But if they want to clap when Green's walking off the court because he's hurt, they have a right to clap.
Let's get in a break.
And do that. He didn't throw anything on the court.
Let's get in a break. Healthy discussion. I think we represented all sides. That's why I love this show called First Take.
Y'all are not bad.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tonight, the Sixers and Heat are back in action with Philly looking to even up the series. Kyle Lowry will be out again for the Heat. Also out is Joel Embiid, according to our Adrian Wojnarowski, with Team Hopeful. He'll be suiting up in Game 3. The 76ers will look to their big midseason trade acquisition to help lead then. James Harden, however, did not look spectacular in Game 1, only scoring 16 points and adding 5 turnovers. His playoff production has dropped off since leaving the Rockets, with his points per game falling 10 points from when he was with Houston. This is largely due to his playoff usage being way down, as he has not put up as many shots with the Nets and the Sixers. And you came back for more. Cavs coach J.B. Bickerstaff here with us. Great to have you. Looking very dapper.
Oh, appreciate that. Yeah.
Sure, number one, she's never told me that, but that's okay.
That's a lie.
Number two, he came back because his boy wasn't here yesterday. What's up, coach?
What's up, baby? We didn't miss you.
I'm just saying. I'm like, wait a minute. He's dead now.
Right.
No, he better come back. So it's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
How's Pops, man?
He's doing well. I'll tell him you asked about him.
Right, Bernie,
yeah, he's watching right now, I guarantee you.
That's my man right there. Love Bernie. Yeah. Love Bernie. Yeah.
Good coach.
Damn good coach.
Won a championship.
Damn good coach. Absolutely.
Yeah, and JB doing a heck of a job, too, with that young Cavs team as well.
Appreciate it.
Stephen A. was referencing them earlier, but I won't bring you into that conversation.
I heard.
Now, let's talk about Harden, though, because you were with him in Houston. Mm-hmm. Is the high-scoring Harden we once knew gone?
I think he's playing the position that his team needs, and that's what New Jersey, or Brooklyn, excuse me, needed from him. Yeah. When he was working with Joel early in the season, they needed him to be a facilitator. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that it's gone. You know, I've heard people have the conversation about, you know, he may have lost a step. He is, you know, older. He does have a lot of miles on him, but he's an extremely intelligent basketball player, and he's an extremely skilled basketball player. So he has the ability to use his intelligence and his skill to still create the shots that he needs, and I think we'll see more of that from him because that's what Philly's going to need.
You know, it's fascinating. He played great in Game 6 against Toronto. Played very well. He looked like, you know, he made the great point not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, that Harden doesn't look like Harden. And I hadn't seen enough, and he was 1,000% right because he hasn't played like the Harden that we have seen. And people are going to bring up the fact maybe he's a little out of shape, the fact that he's been bouncing around team to team. He's a little heavy. The foul situation doesn't get that lean-in call like he did all those. So the free throw attempts are not as great as they used to be. So there is a little doubt right now if he is the player he was 2 or 3 years ago who can pick up the slack with Embiid hurt.
Well, I mean, I think obviously we know there has to be adjustments made over time in guys' career. Right. All the great players, as they started to get older, had to change their games a little bit. Michael Jordan added the fadeaway to his shot because he wasn't as athletic and getting to the basket as often. So all those guys take time to have to make those adjustments. He's just been thrust in some real difficult situations, you know, right now with a team that wasn't necessarily built for him. But now he's got to be the guy and carry that team. And that's always difficult, too.
You see, first of all, I got a couple of problems with Coach.
Uh-oh, here
JB
we go.
Biggs. A couple of problems. Number one, what the hell you do? What the hell you doing being so good at this, man? I mean, you trying to take people's jobs. That's what he's trying to do. You're pretty damn good at analysis right there. I mean, we're going to see him on TV more. That's number one. Number two, can we just be real? James Harden is no more. Can we just do that?
Yeah.
Let me say.
You'll finish, but I still disagree.
Let me finish that.
Yeah.
Here's what I mean. If James Harden's listening, I'm not implying that you can't play. He's too brilliant of a basketball player. We know he can play. We understand that. James Harden can give you 20 a night. He can give you 20 and 8 easy. He could do something like that. This is a guy that's a 3- or 4-time league scoring champion. Do y'all realize that James Harden has not attempted 20 shots a game since he's arrived in Philly? Not even once. He has never attempted 20 shots a game. He hasn't scored 25 points in the last 13 games. That ain't James Harden, y'all. Let's call this what it is. He, and you know this better than me, Coach, because you're an exceptional basketball mind. When people take a whole bunch of shots, what people don't realize, you know the conditioning that you have to be in to get off shots. You know the legs that you have. You know the kind of shape that you have to be in to be able to go out there night in and night out and attempt these shots. It's very flagrant, the numbers that I just gave y'all, because that ain't James Harden. It's not what he does. And so when you take that into account, here's what I would tell James Harden, because I respect him so much. And I know last week I made noise because I was talking about throw again. I wasn't literally talking about the guy playing bad on purpose. What I'm saying is you've been playing so anemic, it's so uncharacteristic. I'm like, damn, you could think anything. That's all I was trying to say. But in all seriousness, and I wasn't playing around, but in all seriousness, I'm looking at James Harden. He can't gain the separation that he once could get. And as a result, this is where he has to be held accountable. And, Coach, you know this better than me. He wants out of Houston. Fertitta initially says no. What do? You come in out of shape. And then to force your way out of Houston. Once you did that and you got to Brooklyn, you had to work to get back in shape. Once that happened is when you got the hamstring injury. And you've never been the same. When you don't take care of your body on an elite level, I'm not talking about getting ready. I'm talking about staying ready. I'm talking about the LeBrons of the world and various others, the Kobes, the MJs, and others, where it didn't matter where you caught them. They were always in shape. I bring up a boxing thing for a second with Floyd Money Mayweather. I see him walk into a Roscoe's. He got an army full of dudes. I mean, you know anything about Roscoe's in L.A. I mean, the chicken and the sweet potato, but everything. You go to Roscoe's. Everybody around him, they order enough food to close down the place. Floyd Mayweather was drinking water. He ain't eat anything.
Discipline.
Because that's not what he does. He stayed ready. LeBron stays ready. True stars, the great stars that you point to, Coach, stay ready. James Harden was usually ready. What happened is he threw himself for a loop to get out of Houston. And the way he compromised himself conditionally, in my opinion, came back to haunt him, and now he's never gotten that back. To that you say what?
Well, my job is to talk basketball. Okay.
I'm talking basketball.
Yeah. But I'm gonna leave the conditioning piece out of it.
Okay.
But here's what I believe is happening.
Okay, no problem.
Right? He takes the time and he has the ability to work himself into shape, and he knows what that takes.
I agree.
So for me, what I bring up is a couple of historical references for you.
Okay.
Right? When you're looking at teams being built, okay, and I'll go back, I was a radio analyst for the Timberwolves back in 2001.
Right.
When they brought Sam Cassell, Latrell Sprewell, and Kevin Garnett together.
Right.
Two of those three guys struggled early on, and the team was 10-11, and everybody was up in arms.
Okay.
Okay. You go to Miami when they brought together LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. They were struggling early, and guys were trying to figure out where they fit. To me, that's what's happening with James. He left Houston, where a team was built solely for him and his skill set. He goes to Brooklyn, and now he's got to figure out how to play with Kevin Durant and with Kyrie Irving and where he sees his purpose and how he can be the best that he can be. They had so many injuries where they were always in and out and they were never able to find any continuity. He gets traded again to play with another superstar in Joel Embiid, whose team it is, right? The Philadelphia 76ers are Joel Embiid's team.
No question.
So now he's trying to figure out, how do I fit and make this guy better and still live up to all the things
but
that I know I'm capable of. That's where the struggle comes in.
Yeah, but Coach, you got an eye for this stuff, man. That's why you're a head coach in the NBA. You know what you're doing, and you know what I'm saying when I say he can't get the separation he wants could. He can't blow by people the way he wants could. Stuff is more contested than it was in the past. He can't even draw fouls the way that he used to. I'm not saying he can't draw fouls, but not the way that he used to. It's not the same. And it started with the hamstring injury. And the hamstring injury came as a result of you trying to work yourself back into shape once you let yourself get out of shape.
But that's the maturation of every player as they age and get older.
Okay.
Right? Is now I have to outthink you. But you still have to find that spot where you recognize that this is what I'm capable of. And now I got to figure out how I can beat you. James is still crafty enough to create the separation when he needs to. It may not be the same way as it's been in the past, but he still has the ability. He's got ball skills, right? He's got shiftiness.
But
he's got size and strength that can still create that separation.
We didn't say he couldn't do it, Coach. What we said is, compared to the level we witnessed just 2 years ago, it's not the same. Would you at least concede that?
He's 32, 33 now.
I think 32, 33.
Right. That's going to happen. And I think all the great ones have slowed at some point in time. You look at what his usage rate was right over his career. Mm-hmm. He's had the ball in his hands a ton.
Right.
He's played a lot of basketball, a lot of miles on his body.
Right.
But what I keep saying is, it's not done yet for James Harden. And that's what I want to make sure that everybody knows is he's too intelligent. He's too skilled. He will figure out a way if given time.
I'm not saying he's done. I would never insult James Harden like that. Like I said, he can give you 28 a night. I'm talking about the James Harden we once saw. That mileage and the fact that he let himself get out of shape and got the hamstring injury, I think that compromised him and took time away, and that is a result of us not seeing what we expected to see from him.
I think you're both right. Now, the question I would have, if they lose to Miami, and I think I don't expect you to make a prediction. Him and I think Miami will win.
Philadelphia's winning. Philadelphia's losing this.
Yeah, season. We both think, what are they going to do? That's a tough franchise. That fan base is demanding. What are they going to do with two things? They're going to keep Doc around to coach another year? I don't know what they may
they
do.
They should.
There. I think they should too, but they may not. He was, if they lost to Toronto, he was gone with a 3-0 lead. I think we all agree with that. They were the first team ever to lose four straight.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, are they going to come back next year thinking Harden wasn't here very much and Embiid then got hurt in the postseason? We got to give them 75 games, 80 games, mm-hmm. and let them go out there and see if they can win a championship. I guess that's what they're probably doing, right?
Go ahead.
Obviously I'm biased, mm-hmm. right? And I hate the fact that the coach is always the first
He's always the guy that goes.
Yeah. Doc has a long history of being great. And I think there's a lot of, you know, unnecessary conversation about the jobs that he's done
totally
over the
true.
Past. He's a Hall of Fame coach.
Yes, he is.
First ballot, no question about it, right? He's done a lot of great things. He's influenced a lot of young coaches like myself over his time, taken us under his wing and been a mentor to a lot of us. So, you know, I think it is unfair, some of the criticism that he's received, because he's done a great job. Mm-hmm. You know, organizations can't panic. You know, I was with Daryl Morey for a long time in Houston, one of the greatest basketball minds and the ability to put teams together and have a plan mm-hmm. that I've been around.
Mm-hmm.
And Daryl has a plan. I can guarantee you that. But with those plans, you got to give him an opportunity to show himself
the team back.
Instead of just blowing it up and panicking.
Okay, so he brings the team back.
Well, let me say this. I'm going to make a statement. You're a coach in the NBA. So I'm telling you, I don't want your response with what I'm about to say. Okay. You're a coach. I don't want him getting fired. This is not for you to comment on. Doc Rivers is being unfairly treated. There is no doubt about that. You got people that have been talking about Mike D'Antoni being the next. And I'm going to make Mike D'Antoni, if he's watching. I think Mike D'Antoni.
Well, that's because he represents Harden and he gets the most out of Harden.
I think Mike D'Antoni deserves to be a head coach in the NBA. Just not there. But where it gets interesting is what Coach JB just said. Daryl Morey is a brilliant executive. He has a plan. He came after Doc Rivers was hired.
Correct.
He didn't hire Doc Rivers.
Right.
And so as a result, these rumors that are out there are not an accident. I've worked in Philadelphia for 17 years. I've been covering the NBA for a quarter century. I'm here to tell you, it ain't an accident. If it's out there, it's because somebody's muttering that stuff.
Right.
And the media's reporting it, not making it
we
up.
We have to get into break. Excellent analysis. And you're a class act, I can tell.
Thank you.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. The Lakers are in search of their next head coach, and according to our own Adrian Wojnarowski, they're turning to a former coach to help find that person. Woj saying on NBA Today that Phil Jackson is significantly involved in this process. Jackson, who won it all 11 times as a coach, also had a say when LA hired Frank Vogel. Earlier in the show, Stephen A. had what some would call a hot take, Mad Dog Russo. He was saying that the Lakers should consider trading LeBron James. Do you concur?
No, I do not, because they are joined at the hip, these three players. Maybe get rid of Westbrook, but the franchise right now is joined with Davis and with LeBron. And they also, people seem to forget, they did win a championship. I understand it wasn't a parade. I understand it was sort of abnormal in the bubble, mm-hmm. but they counts. And he did win one, and it's not that long ago. And when you think about trading these big stars in any sport, you never get back equal value. So when Kareem got traded from Milwaukee to L.A., the Bucks made a good trade but didn't get equal value. When you trade the big star, you don't get anything that's worth it. Plus the fact he's not going to go to Salt Lake City. He's not going to go to the – I don't even think he wants to go to the Knicks. You know, he doesn't want to go back to Cleveland. He already won there. Or Miami, he won twice there. So I think it's just a waste of time to even think about it. I think what you have to think about it in L.A., okay, how can we get a little better where at least we're part of the conversation again and in the NBA playoffs? How do we make that happen? Can we win an NBA championship with this crew? The way the league is right now, maybe you can't. But I can't go out there and trade LeBron and be stuck with Anthony Davis and Westbrook. What does that do? then I'm in a real disaster. Plus, that town is obviously big stars anyway.
Yeah.
You gotta, they want to put statues there at the Staples Center. So I don't think it's worth their aggravation. And I also don't have a problem whatsoever with Phil Jackson having a say in who the coach is. He won 5 championships there. He wanted Steve Kerr to coach the Knicks. He knows what it takes to coach big superstars. He's earned that. I don't have a problem with that myself. A lot of people do that. How could Phil Jackson have a chance?
First of all,
he won 5 titles
there. First of all, let me be very serious here. number one, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I just think everybody's missing my point. And let me look into the camera and say this, because I got a whole bunch of people texting me. I got coaches texting me. I got agents texting me. I got players texting me. Everybody talking about I sound like a damn fool, and damn it, they got love for me, and they want me to be smart. And I'm not sounding very smart. I love all of y'all. I truly do, and I appreciate the support all of y'all give me. I don't give a damn what anybody says. I know what the hell I'm saying, and I mean it. I'm not saying give LeBron away and throw him away. I'm not saying it's his fault. I want everybody to hear me. I want a solo shot. I asked for a solo shot for a reason, because I want to make sure people are holding me accountable for what I say, not what they think I said. I am not breaking news acting like the Lakers are doing this. The Lakers got their own problems, and they've got their own challenges. And Rob Pelinka is running basketball operations. Jeannie Buss has made it clear. She wants everybody to know that. He's the one that's making the final decisions on basketball-related matters. That's what she says. She's the wonderful Jeannie Buss. I'm going to defer to her judgment. That's what she says. We're going to roll with that. Here's my point. If you're LeBron James listening, you are still the biggest star in the NBA. He's incredibly powerful. So the likelihood of this happening is pretty much close to zero. What I'm saying, if I'm the Los Angeles Lakers, I got a Russell Westbrook in the last year of his contract scheduled to make $47 million, that there's sincere trepidation as to whether or not I'm going to be able to move him, doggy. I've got an Anthony Davis that's got 2 more years plus a player option. Okay, and guess what? Everybody is saying nobody's trading for him because when he's healthy, he's a top 6 or 7
player. He never played.
Listen, he's a top 6 or 7 player on the planet. But because he's missed half the season the last 2 years, people are saying he's injury prone, and they're not going to give up young assets or picks for him.
Correct.
Okay, at least to the satisfaction of the Los Angeles Lakers. What is the one sure commodity that you have where everyone will move heaven and earth to get their hands on this asset? Who knows what they'd be willing to give you up to you for it? Because this dude, even though he's in his 19th season and he averaged 30 a game and all of this other stuff, they're talking about, they don't give a damn about his age. They're talking about the brother can still play. He's absolutely phenomenal box office attraction. He's going to generate a boatload of money for us. And there's a sucker everywhere that will give up something that they normally wouldn't give up for an asset like that. You trying to tell me every owner in the NBA will go like this? This brother could guarantee us title contention for the next couple of years. And he would sell out the building. He'd have us on national television every day. Yeah. He'd have all of this other stuff. Hell with that. We give it up. You trying to tell me no one would make
Dolan would.
I'm just saying, well, they have nothing to give.
The well, that's the problem.
But some teams who have something to give might. All I'm trying to say to you is that if I'm the Lakers, I make the decision that I'm going to listen and I'm going to let everybody know this is what I'm willing to do, because I don't want a replica of Kobe's final years where we fell off the map and missed the playoffs for 6 straight years and all of this other stuff while everybody else in the Western Conference is ascending. I want to be a player in the postseason. That's all I'm saying. The LeBron James, it's a compliment to him. It's not an insult. He's the only hope they have. He's the only asset that they have where they can make a move. That's all I mean by that.
Can I ask a question, Boo?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do a thought experiment.
Sure.
Okay, so say LeBron's gone. What do the Lakers need to really compete for a title right now?
Well,
with the roster presently constructed?
You need a multitude of bodies and some young thoroughbreds who's going to be out on the court for you. I mean, it's sad to say, but it's literally almost that simple. Like, for example, when you got Anthony Davis missing half the season and Russell Westbrook, you questioning what he's got left. You need some dudes. Look at what New Orleans did. Look, we got
I'm just saying, how far away are they from really competing, even if they didn't have LeBron?
I'm saying if you get some young assets along with some picks, you are the Lakers, and you're not falling off the map for the next 6-7 years.
That's the point. Teams fall off the map, though, with older stars when they get old and they get finished. The Bulls fell off the map when they lost Jordan. Teams fall off that map. It's inevitable.
Right.
The Warriors are going to fall off that map once Curry and Thompson go. And so the Lakers are in this process. They got older players
who can still play.
Wait a minute.
Let's talk about the Warriors.
Yeah, I don't know.
You ever heard of Jonathan Kuminga?
Good little player.
He's a Skywalker.
Time out.
Tremendous potential.
When they lose those two Hall of Famers, their run is over.
Let me ask you.
They're not winning.
All right, they're not winning. But what I'm
come on,
listen
that's
to
not
me.
Fair.
Listen to me. I'm not saying it's a championship. What I'm saying is you got Jordan Poole and you got Kuminga. Okay?
Right.
And I'm saying, look, you got a Gary Payton the second when he gets healthy. You got these. I'm saying to you, they may not win a championship. But guess what? They're going to be respectable enough to attract other talent to come and play with them. They might not fall off the map. That's all I'm saying, guys. That's all I'm saying. You got to have forward thinking. You can't just stand still and do nothing and leave yourself at the mercy of a dude who's about to retire in 2 years. You can't do it. Mm. What else do you have?
You are tied at the hip.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. The Penguins and Rangers gave us a show last night. It was great to see Linda Cohn postgame also on the Late Night Sports Center. Pittsburgh had their second most shots on the goal in a playoff game in the last 60 years. Louis Domingue entered the goal late in the game for the Penguins, and she got the win. And Igor Shesterkin set a franchise record for saves in a playoff game, but it wasn't enough for the Rangers. Exciting night on the ice. Exciting night on the hardwood in basketball. We certainly talked about those games. It's a wonderful time of year for sports fans. But which would you say has been more exciting, the NHL postseason or NBA?
I love the NHL postseason earlier than I do the NBA, because in the NBA, there's no upsets. Look at the first round. Every higher seed won. Dallas beat Utah. The Celtics beat the Nets. Pelicans lost, on and on. In the NHL, anything goes. Plenty of 8 seeds have gotten to a Stanley Cup final because it's unpredictable in the NHL, and the goalie, a lot like the big pitcher in baseball, can have an incredible and be an incredible difference maker. You can have a goalie stand on his head and take an average team to a advance in the postseason, and they can beat the best teams. In the NBA, the best team always wins. So there is an aspect of the NBA postseason that early on, now the Golden State Phoenix series would be superb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bucks Celtics would be superb. Those are equal teams. But in the first round and the early part of the postseason, the NHL creates an excitement because it's much more up in the air who's going to advance. It's unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the other thing I like about the NHL, it's every other night. The NBA, because of the TV, I mean, Boston and Milwaukee have 3 days off. That's ridiculous. How could Boston, I know it's TV, that's ridiculous. They can play Sunday and Tuesday and not play the Saturday night. I mean, that does, and in the NBA, and the first round of the NBA takes 15 days to play first round of the NBA. The NHL, night after night after night, every other night, you got a big game and you got surprises and you have more game sevens. The NHL provides more game sevens. The NBA hasn't had a game seven yet. The NHL will have a couple of game sevens in his first round. So for my money, now it's not to say I more people watch the NBA and I love the NBA as much as anybody, but for my money as a sports fan, if you want to sit there and see suspense early on in the postseason, you're better off at the hockey than you are at the NBA.
Oh, please.
Oh, you're much better off. Please. Not even close.
Let me say this. First of all, I mean, I want to open, just throw myself on Front Street. I don't know a damn thing about hockey other than the puck is black. That's all I know. And it's cold in them damn arenas. It's cold.
It is.
All right.
You need a coat.
It's cold in them damn arenas, and black folks don't do the cold. I mean, the PK Supons and people like that might be an exception, but damn it, most black people don't do the cold, all right? It's just not how we roll, all right? Now, I got to throw myself on Front Street about something else because you're going to kill me with this.
Oh, it's a joke.
But I got to give it to you.
Go ahead.
May 27th. 1994, Game 7, New York Rangers, New Jersey Devils, Madison Square Garden. Double overtime, Rangers win, they go on to beat Vancouver, win the Stanley Cup, erase a 40-year drought, Mark Messier, all this other stuff, right? I left that game with 2 minutes left. 2 minutes left in regulation. I left the game. I thought
the Rangers were ahead.
The Rangers were ahead 1-0. Traffic. I thought they had it. I was trying to beat traffic.
Yeah.
I was trying to get the hell out of there. Anyway, I have to admit now, in fairness, to prove the snob that I am, I'd have never left if it were an NBA game. I'd have never left. I'd be right there. To the finish.
You stay there that long? Because the Rangers had not won a Stanley Cup. It was a great rival, and that game was a great game. How do you leave?
It was uncomfortable.
And you didn't sit in the upper deck. I can guarantee you that.
I did.
Nonsense.
I did. Oh. I really, really did. Listen. Back then, I was Stephen A., but I wasn't Stephen A. You know what I'm saying? So it was a little different for me back then. I was up in the upper deck. Now, I mean.
Who got you to a hockey game?
Listen. They decided. I kept promising Barry Watkins for the Knicks and running the Madison Square Garden. And all of them that I would go to a game, and I went, but I had to get the hell up out of there. And let's be right. Listen, I'm not knocking in. I'm not throwing any shade on hockey because Gary Bettman is my dude. I promised him I was going to come to a game with him, and I'm going to fulfill that promise. We're going to do that hockey, Gary Bettman. We're going to do that hockey, okay? But the bottom line is that I don't see too many of us at the hockey game because it's the ice, you know what I'm saying? It's the ice and the cold weather. So I felt kind of lonely, you know? And I said, let me get the hell up out of here, you understand? While there's still time to beat
somebody. If the game was 1-1, would you have left?
Huh?
If the game was 1-1, would you have left?
I probably would not have because I assumed the Rangers
are going to win again.
But it would have been a tough sell to keep me there. I'm just telling you, that's just how I roll. The NBA, I can't get enough of it. I mean, Steph and LeBron and all the, right. I mean, everybody. I mean, Ja Morant, everybody.
Toronto and Philly bumped you up in game.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
JJ, huge blow for Gary Payton. Hated seeing that. How much does this affect the Warriors' finals chances?
It probably affects it a little bit. I mean, he's a great defender. They switch a lot. I think in this series it may affect them a little bit because he's the one guy who has both the lateral quickness and some vertical explosiveness that can maybe contain Ja. But I still expect the Warriors to get past this, and I don't know why we're talking about the finals. The Suns are going to the finals.
Right. Well, we can talk about that later, but as it pertains to this series, I think that the Warriors will still get past this series. I will tell you that I'm looking I'm sad that this happened. I don't think Dylan Brooks is a dirty player, but it was a dirty play, make no mistake about it. But I also look at commitment. Kuminga, this is a big opportunity for him. Now, you're right about the vertical portion because Kuminga could definitely fill that role. Plus, he's a bit taller than Gary Payton II as well. That lateral movement is a different animal. And so it's going to be real interesting to see what Steve Kerr does. Mm-hmm. But I think whatever it is, it'll be enough for them to win this series.
Get him to his right hand. That's what he should do.
How about that?
You were right about the
Jaw Nets. Jaw only goes left.
I don't know about the Suns, though, JJ.
You can go right.
I'm sold on that, too.
You just got to make them do what's uncomfortable.
Gentlemen, what a day. What a day.